And last year, over $72,000 was raised through a project named Walk to Water. It helps supply many people with clean running water without having to walk many kilometres. Walk to Water is an initiative of Open Doors, and this year they're going back to northern Nigeria to build more boreholes in remote villages. Jeanette from Open Doors is on the phone. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Rodney, and good morning to your listeners.
How far are people generally having to walk to find water in places like Nigeria?
Well, the United Nations has estimated like it's about at least an average of 8 kilometres that people have to walk, you know, every day to collect water, and something like spending 40 billion hours a year collecting water. And, you know, if you think of those statistics, that's an enormous amount of time and energy and effort doing that.
And I imagine if they're walking that far, they're then only able to bring back to their village what they can carry. So what are they carrying water back in?
In jerry cans, which is fine, but you sort of see pictures of women and little children carrying these enormous jerry cans. But it's more than that, Rodney, because they're actually bringing back water that's usually not very good anyway. It's from a local water source that might be shared with animals or an unclean river, or dries up in the dry season. So it's a pitiful sort of mud hole. And that means that they're bringing back sort of things like guinea worm and cholera. And we don't often think about that. Okay, they're getting water, but it's not suitable water. And if it's local water, even if it's close by, that's another issue. And another problem is that it actually stops education. And we think, oh, how's that? Because the girls especially spend all day carrying water, and so their educational opportunities are really cut short. So if we can actually put a deep water borehole in the village, then that actually allows health and education, you know, one of the sort of very, you know, basic human rights to be able to flourish in that village.
It's quite amazing when we think of it, because we have water so readily available. And I know when I've returned from developing countries, it's for a little while when I get back, it's a real novelty to just go to my kitchen, turn on the tap, fill a glass and drink straight away. Because in most places, we don't have that opportunity. Even in places where there is plenty of water, you don't drink it out of a tap. And yet, these people are having to walk enormous distances. So the answer is these boreholes. Tell us a little about those.
Well, this is an initiative that Australia has been involved in with Open Doors for the last, this is our 5th year, so it's sort of a bit of a celebratory year for me in having this run for the last 5 years. And we've put in over 16 deep water boreholes, and it's not just a well. We actually take in surveyors, we take in, you know, sort of like oil drilling equipment, and go really deep right down. And so it's a permanent clean water source, and that's where the costing comes from, because it's a difficult and dangerous area as well, and just getting the drillers and the people to work there and stay working there can be a challenge. But we're about doing that and making sure that people have that permanent water supply, and then doing a training course for the men in the village to come and sort of keep that borehole sort of working properly, so that sediment and sort of some of the salts that are still within that water don't clog it up. So that's where the costing goes, because it's not just a little well, it's actually a deep water borehole.
And by training the locals, you're not making them reliant on you coming back time and time again, but giving them self-sufficiency.
Absolutely. And the people pay, you know, the local government a water levy, but somehow the local government never seems to get round to putting, you know, boreholes in the local Christian villages. So it's also a testimony to those around, and it's like, well, where did this borehole come from? You know, the government didn't do it. Oh, no, this is our family in Australia. They've paid for this. This is our Christian family in Australia. So it's a great testimony for the gospel to sort of go forward, and them to be generous in allowing others to use that, which we've got lovely stories about that, Rodney, and we love that, because that's what the Christian heart is, to share what's given to you by God, and that's how they look at it.
How much does it actually cost to put down one borehole?
We're looking at about $13,000 a borehole. So last year, when we actually raised far more than that, because we were putting four in, we had $72,000. The overfunding always goes to the field, and we went to help re-establish churches that had actually been burnt down and in Nigeria there. So the money still went to the field. So we want to assure your listeners of that all the money sort of gets to the field. So if they're not putting in a borehole, we're using it for other areas that are vital at that time.
When you're talking about $13,000 to put in a borehole that's going to continue working for years and years to come and make mm-hmm. such a difference in a village. It's not really a lot, but we still need people to get on board and help to raise those funds. So tell us about what people can actually do to get involved with Walk to Water.
Okay, well, we've got a website, which is www.walktowater.org.au. And on that, people, you know, you've got four walks actually over there in Perth. I'm not sure exactly of the localities, whether they're right in the centre of Perth, but happening over there in Western Australia. So people can actually either look at that walk and say, oh, I'd like to join that and do so. Or they'd actually like to think, oh, well, my local group of friends, my local church, my walking group. We've got, you know, we've got dog walking groups and we've got running clubs and all sorts of sort of people that have decided, oh, I want to do this and get sponsorship. And they just sort of register on our website. And when that happens, when they register, then we will send a resource pack that's got a DVD about, you know, what's happening, how to promote it, invitations, also, you know, just a pack that will really help run your event. So I'm encouraging our listeners to sort of think about just gathering a few friends. You know, we've got groups that have just got, you know, half a dozen friends. We've got a group that's got 250 people walking. So, you know, there's no restrictions on how you actually run your walk.
Okay, the day itself is set aside for Saturday the 14th of September, a couple of weeks mm-hmm. away. But obviously, if people have a heart for this and they think, 2 weeks, that's not enough time for me to organise, they can run their event at another time?
Absolutely. And a lot of people said, oh, look, we want to do it, you know, after church or after this and on the Sunday. And we're saying that's fine. We actually would just love to have it done between, you know, by the end of October is because we need to get those funds to the field as well. So we've been very liberal and said, great if it's in September, but there's a few that, oh, we can do it in October. So so that would be great. So choose your own date and we'll send you a pack that, you know, has not dated and you can write in your own dates and things like that. So for sure, Rodney, we can we'd love that.
I'm talking to Jeanette from Open Doors about Walk to Water. If you'd like to find out more, head to the website walktowater.org.au. Jeanette, thanks for sharing some of the details of what this is achieving. It's a fantastic initiative and thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Rodney, and God bless your listeners to get involved and to do this. Thank you.